Small Business Focus, Pavlo Fatidis, who is the founder at Auric Business Accelerator, on the line to us from Johannesburg this evening. Uncle Pavlo, you are spending an awful lot of time talking to an awful lot of very competent and capable people who are going through the most extraordinary, difficult and brutal and awful time. Some, no doubt, are coping better than others. Just give me a broad overview, just your... The quality discussions that you're having.
You know, Bruce, it's varying so wildly, depending on so many different factors. And what's interesting is what we're experiencing over here is really no different to what most people running private businesses are experiencing in at least four or five other parts of the world where I've been having similar conversations. But the factors that really guide it have been very centered around what industry and what business are you in? Because we all know that some businesses were literally obliterated in the lockdown. Some businesses were left with some capability of surviving and operating. And other businesses find themselves in a very favorable position in the essential services economy. And yet the conversations with all those business owners, you start to see a certain pattern of mindset or a way of thinking or a position that they're assuming or taking in how they're resolving the challenges that they're experiencing now. Lockdown, pre-lockdown, there was a lot of positive sentiment in the market, even though the South African economy was going nowhere. Within the small, medium enterprise space, certainly the conversations I was having, it was all set for growth. We were geared for growth. We had put some good work in play during last year. We were ready to make up good ground this year. The COVID lockdown takes place. A lot of people falsely believed that it would be a three-week gig. And as a result, they did very little around it, only to find out that it lasted, how long was it, Bruce?
It's still going.
Still feels like it's going. Yeah. It still feels like it's continuing. I mean, here we are speaking, you know, across Zoom screens to each other and all sorts of other channels. But so some people then started to kick into gear, and a lot of them then find themselves severely on the back foot. And Bruce, what concerns me about the patterns that I'm seeing is if you have a prolonged psychological view, a view on how you're choosing to exist and cope with the current environment, what's really, really important is if it sustains and it prolongs, it can fundamentally change your attitude once we get through COVID in the next year or so. And you will not be the same person pre-COVID as you will be 2 years from now, because you'll end up developing a whole lot of habits and patterns of behavior guided by the psychology you hold today. So that psychology, it's important to understand where you are in that space. It's important to see it for what it is, and it's important to use it to your advantage or eliminate it and get it out the way so you can get going again.
So give me some examples. I mean, you know, you've often spoken about Kubler-Ross and her stages of grief, for example. I mean, are there stages of lockdown reaction, lockdown response?
Well, I'm certainly seeing it. I'm seeing five kind of, let's call it, responses at the moment, mindset responses. The first one is, in some businesses, I'm seeing a very strong sense of loss aversion. And effectively, what loss aversion is, it's a view that assumes losses loom larger than gains, that whatever you do that might see loss, it might see expenses running out of your business, the gain that you can hope to get from it will never be as big as the potential loss of losing it. It almost makes you freeze in your tracks. And where I'm seeing it, Bruce, is what led to your success pre the COVID lockdown will be different to what leads to your success after. In order to make your business relevant today, you need to change things. You need to change the way you communicate to your customers, the way you find your customers, the way you service your customers. You need to change the way that you engage with your teams, you engage with your staff. And one of the most interesting areas has been the extent to which people are prepared to test and invest in some sort of digital engagement process with staff, with customers, with suppliers, around moving products, around payments, around all sorts of things. And because it feels like a really big, unsurmountable task to introduce some digital elements into a business, most people aren't doing it. And when you're not doing it, you're seeing that you're not spending. And because you're not spending, you're saving so you can ride out the rest of the storm. But the fact of the matter, Bruce, is your competitors, A, are doing it, and B, by the time you're ready to ride out of the storm, your environment, your customers, everything would have changed to such a degree that the likelihood of you being relevant any longer is not going to be there.
What's the difference between being loss averse and just careful, cautious, conservative?
Well, that's a really, really great, question, because, you know, last week when we spoke about hope, and you said, but Pavel, you have to hope. Everyone has to hope. I'm saying absolutely you have to hope, but improve your chances of hope turning into reality by doing what you need to do. So the big difference between the two is loss aversion is you won't even consider doing anything. Whereas being cautious and conservative is about communicating, listening, getting feedback, and then finding something to do to make things different, to change things, and breaking it down into 30 tiny little steps, Bruce, instead of one big insurmountable task. Take the first step, see what works, see what doesn't work, double down on what works, and then take the next logical step. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Pavlo Fotiades is the founder at Auric Business Accelerator. We're talking to him tonight about the five stages that he is seeing in mindsets. There's loss aversion, which is a slow burn to implosion, is his suggestion. There's the other one, which is called panic. And I think a lot of people have been, if you haven't panicked yet, why not? If you did panic, how long did your panic last? If you did manage to control your panic, then you've been thinking really, really hard and working furiously. We'll talk about panic in a moment. Five dominant patterns of thinking and behavior in a time of COVID that are going to impact the way you emerge on the other side of this crisis. And it is a crisis, just in case you haven't realized it. If you're overwhelmed, you may be in the heavy breathing, deep panic phase. I think everybody panics from time to time, Pavlo. I suppose it's the way you contain it that counts. So give me a perspective on panic, please.
Yeah, everyone does, Bruce. And, you know, the key that you said over there is the heavy, deep breathing. If you do heavy, deep breathing, it's a good thing when you're feeling panicked, because what happens typically when you get panicked, you move immediately into a freeze, fight, and flight response. You almost take that sharp breath, almost like a gasp. And what it does is it triggers all the cortisol and adrenal hormones flushing through your body. It narrows your perspective, it narrows your point of view, and you tend to respond almost impulsively. And the problem is that impulsive behavior in a time of crisis like the one we're going through at the moment very seldom pays dividends. Very often you have to reverse out the decision, or you have to try and cope with the impacts of a bad decision. And where I've seen a lot of it is a lot of people have turned around and said, for example, this thing is here to stay now. It's becoming evident that it's going to be around a lot longer, and I need to cut costs. I need to get rid of costs. I need to get rid of the bleed in the business. And often it really is centered around people involved in the marketing and sales environment. And the argument is logical. You know, right now, nobody's buying. We aren't allowed to trade. We can't continue like this. So the whole effort of generating new leads and new customers goes into silence. Well, because we're not getting all the leads in, I don't need my entire sales team. Let me start scaling back on my sales team. And the whole process of generating business then starts to slow down. That then compounds the belief that you've made the right decision, because the right decision is when the economy is not happening, you need to cut back. And it can create a very, very vicious cycle. The best way to stop that, Bruce, is don't make impulsive decisions. You know, right now, everyone in the service economy is saying, well, what do we need offices for now? You know, now we've gotten used to remote working. And I'm looking at those big onerous rents and I'm saying, well, what do we really need them for now? It's way too early to make any call like that because we have not understood the impact of culture, how culture develops, how values are established in a business, how a sense of belonging and meaning evolves in a physical workspace versus a remote workspace. Don't panic and make rash decisions. Take a pause, step back, think about it, and then only when you are clear-headed, make those moves.
And we don't ordinarily see entrepreneurs as people who are insecure about themselves. Generally, people like yourself are fairly confident. Some might even say, not you personally, but broadly about entrepreneurs, quite arrogant sometimes, quite brash sometimes, quite cocksure, quite certain of themselves. But there will be a time, especially when things are as uncertain as they are, where you start questioning your own ability to manage. It's got a name where you don't feel like you are supposed to be in the place that you are and you start doubting everything about you and yourself. What's it called again?
Imposter syndrome.
That's the word.
It's a sense where you, where inside your head, you feel like a phony. You feel at almost any moment you're going to be found out as a fraud. You know, very often they say, and we hear this in popular business language, fake it until you make it. Yeah, well, I mean, eventually, Bruce, imposter syndrome. Here's a good example. What is the true role of a president of a country? And then who is the president? When you look at what they say as opposed to what they do, when you look at the boss that you work for in terms of what he or she says, as opposed to what they do, you start to get a sense as to whether that person genuinely, realistically is in control. And the best way to test it is to ask a question with a persistent view to try and get a better and deeper and more comprehensive understanding. Very often, if you brushed off, it means that the individual you're asking actually doesn't know. And if they don't know, but are presenting that they do know, that's the imposter syndrome. And right now, where we stand, all of us, I promise you, we don't know the answers. So simply saying, I don't know, what do you think, is a really good way to step beyond that place or space where you feel you need to show that you're in control 100% of all the time. Because you're not, everyone knows it. And if you make out that you are, you will lose the respect, you will lose your leadership capabilities, you will lose the ability to get your team to move, and you will lose your customers too.
And also, don't use it too often, though. You know, how are you? I don't know. What do you think? Is not the appropriate response. Engage your brain. A lot of people also want to be perfect, don't they? I mean, they really want to get through this crisis with as little damage as possible. And they're blooming good in normal times. They've built a great business. They've hacked it. But they're in a deeply uncomfortable space right now. And they want it to be like it was. And it's not. And that's upsetting.
It's very upsetting. You know where I'm seeing it a lot, Bruce, at the moment? It's almost like a dependency on one area where you feel strong and you feel capable and you won't move away from it. In fact, you'll double down on it. There was an expression, and you know, I know it was attributed to Einstein, but apparently he never said it actually. But mostly we understand it to be coming from Einstein, where he said, doing the same thing again and again will simply give you the same result again and again. And where I'm seeing this a lot is working with people who are technically very proficient in their businesses. They've got deep technical expertise or technical expertise in their profession. So think of a lawyer, an accountant. Think of a professional engineer. They've got deep technical expertise in the product. that they make or service or supply or sell. And in environments where there is so much wild, crazy uncertainty, we saw it at the beginning of the COVID period, in order to gain control and remove that uncertainty, people do and act in their area of strength, where they are physically doing something and hoping that that will resolve it. We saw people rushing out and buying toilet paper. I'm seeing these people who are technically proficient dabble, fiddle, readjust, deepen down, double down on the product that they're building or the service that they're creating or the document that they're writing. And none of it is market facing. It's all inward facing on product. And building a better product when there is no market available for it and you're not engaging the market for it is a fake way of thinking that you're regaining control. You've got to stop, take a pause, and go to the people who are talking to your customers and ask your customers what they think before you tinker with the product any further.
You must be seeing a lot of exhaustion. There'll be people who are invigorated, who love the challenge. There'll be people who are super excited by the fact that their competitors are falling by the wayside and they might be one of the last people standing and they think, hey, this is brilliant. What a great opportunity to consolidate my hold on my industry. What an opportunity to grow once this is all over. It's great. There are people who thrive there. But there are, I think, an awful lot of people who, whether they admit it or not, are close to breaking point.
Oh, completely. I think that there's more burnout out there at the moment in the hands of business owners than possibly anywhere else. I read a fantastic statistic, and it was a global measure that was effectively done. And it showed that private business owners, in general, work 35% more hours in a week than the average employee in a business. So already, you know, business owners have been working hard. What this has required is you to draw on a whole lot of areas that are brand new to you. You've had to learn a whole lot of new things. You've had to act as if you're in control, but mostly you've had to put in the hours. Bruce, there are very few people I'm speaking to still today, business owners running good businesses, strong businesses that aren't putting in a 10, 11, 12 hour day and aren't doing at least half a day, if not two half days over the weekend. The thing is, burnout, if it catches up with you, can put you into a place or space where you can no longer see opportunity, you'll only see risk. Burnout in your team, in your staff, will start to render them ineffective. It can create an enormous amount of disruption. If you are experiencing burnout, or if you are feeling completely manic and wired, which is a lead into burnout, you need to take a step back. Go and take a run, ride a bike, get into a ring, spar, fight, do whatever it is that's needed. But turn all the energy in your brain into energy in your body too. It's a really good way to take a bit of a pause and a bit of a break and gain some perspective before you launch back into it.
Pavlo Fotiades, he is the founder of Auric Business Accelerator on a Thursday on The Money Show.